You'll be glad to hear that the next piece is only 33 minutes long. I was told that this is the only time the Dvořák New World has ever been played in the first half of a concert. That was a tribute to Hans-Jörg Wies and his great desire to hear that piece. So the Rider Spring is a kind of pageant. It evokes memories of primordial times in Russia. It doesn't really need explaining because it makes such an impact, but I'll just give you a few signs to go by. It's in two parts. Each part is preceded by an introduction, and the introduction in the first part describes the piercing, stored-up energies of spring about to burst. Igor Stravinsky said about it, it describes the awakening of nature, the scratching, gnawing, wiggling of birds and beasts. He uses very strange instruments, often playing in a way that they're not trained to play. And it builds to a great clamor. And then there's the dance of the adolescents, which brings in the brutal violence of spring and nature, and that also builds to a huge climax. And it seems to express the irresistible, irrepressible feeling of joy and elation. And it reaches near limits of the human hearing capacity. And then the ritual of abduction, tremendous struggle, as if everything is pitted against everything else. Then the procession of the sage. I counted in the score at the climax of that section 42 different voices simultaneously, and 27 different rhythms. No human being, of course, can hear all that, but it is an extraordinary statement of the plethora of experience and emotion and color that he brings. And then comes the moment in which the sage kisses and consecrates the earth, and that's played by five bassoons. Everything is fives in this extraordinary orchestra, 120 players. And he kneels to the ground and kisses the earth. And then comes a final wild section, and then darkness, blank. And then the second part. And the second part starts also with a introduction, and then comes the moment in which the tribe elects a virgin who, in an orgiastic dance, sacrifices herself to spring, to renewal. There's a lot of quiet music in that section, and before the fateful moment at which the girl is chosen. And I recommend you don't lose concentration, because some of the finest and most original and most beautiful music Stravinsky ever wrote is in that section. And then comes the moment. Two trumpets with an attack tell us, she's it, this one is chosen. And then there are 11 mammoth notes with the whole orchestra as loud as can be, memorable. Nobody, once hearing those 11 notes, will ever forget them. And then wild dances. At this point, the story doesn't matter. All is lost for the girl until the dance sacral, at which she dances herself to death. Some of the music is very cruel and tremendous power and energy is unleashed. And then comes the famous section called the danse sacrale, the sacred dance. And it's an extraordinary test of an orchestra. When it was first performed and recorded, it was performed in 1913, and there was so much pandemonium in the audience that the dancers couldn't hear the players. They were so shocked by this music. And it's still, in many ways, very shocking. Yeah, but when they got to record in 1929, both Stravinsky himself and the great conductor, Monteux, who often stood here and conducted, the result was almost complete chaos. The players couldn't play it, the conductors couldn't conduct it. It was an extraordinary mess. And it's unthinkable that an orchestra with 13, 14, 15-year-olds can approach this music, love it, and play it with such conviction. In the final moment, there's a silence, and then the life-affirming gesture. The tribe thrusts the lifeless body heavenwards, and in order to bring renewal to the community. So although this is a music that tests everybody in their listening and in their being, it is a piece about joy and about renewal. Good luck.